Welcome, brave soul, to a month of chills and ghostly thrills. You've tuned in to The Medium Matters, where we're celebrating the haunting season with a spine-tingling series that will leave you breathless. As the leaves turn crimson and the nights grow longer, we invite you to join us for a haunting journey through the supernatural. Get ready to explore the dark corners of history, meet restless spirits, and discover the secrets that lurk within the walls of some of the most haunted places. So say your prayers, dim the lights, and settle in for our Halloween frights. Oh, and don't forget to check under your bed. You never know who or what is lurking.
Happiest day, beautiful soul. Welcome back to The Medium Matters, the podcast where we're all mini mystics learning about the paranormal, the supernatural, and all the things together. And everyone is living their very best cursed life. I'm your host, Chantel, and today we're exploring five of the most infamous haunted artifacts that have left a trail of misfortune, terror, and even death in their wake. These aren't your average antiques. We're talking about objects so sinister, they have sparked urban legends, inspired horror movies, and kept paranormal investigators up at night. Whether you're a skeptic or a true believer, these stories will make you think twice before picking up that harmless vintage find at your next garage sale. So grab your sage, strap on your holy water, and let's get up close and personal with some spooky artifacts, shall we? All right, buckle up because we're about to dive into the wild and spooky tale of the Hope Diamond. Now, this isn't your average sparkly rock. We're talking about a gem with a reputation so dark, it'll make you think twice about ever wishing for a big fancy diamond. So picture this. It's the 17th century, and we have this French merchant named Jean-Baptiste Tavernier traipsing around India. Now, the story goes that he stumbles upon this massive blue diamond in a Hindu temple, but, you know, it wasn't just sitting there for the taking, because, of course, this beauty was actually one of the eyes of a sacred statue, right? I mean, is he asking for trouble? I think he is. So he's not being the most respectful guy, right? He decides, finders keepers, basically, and pries the gem right out of the statue's face. Now, you'd think stealing from a god would be enough to make anyone think twice, but not our friend Tavernier. He hightails it back to France and sells this 115-carat behemoth to King Louis XIV. The stone gets recut into a 69-carat stone, and that's where our diamond's journey of misfortune really kicks off. Fast forward a bit, and we have Louis XVI and Marie Antoinette rocking this gem. And we all know how that ended. Off with their heads. The diamond disappears for a while after that, probably laying low and plotting its next move. In the early 1900s, this diamond, now known as the Hope Diamond, ends up in the hands of Washington, D.C. socialite named Evelyn Walsh McLean. Evelyn thinks she's just hit the jackpot, and she's like, cursed, whatever, this is my new, beautiful, lucky charm. So Evelyn is living it up, wearing this now 45-carat blue beauty everywhere she goes. She even has the idea of letting her dog wear it sometimes, because why not? But then, things start to go sideways. Evelyn's young son is hit by a car, her husband spirals into alcoholism, and ends up in a mental institution. Her poor daughter dies by suicide, and to top it all off, Evelyn loses control of her newspaper, The Washington Post, and dies with a mountain of debt. Now, I'm not saying it was definitely the diamond's fault, but, you know, you have to admit, that is a pretty rough string of luck, right? These days, the Hope Diamond is hanging out in the Smithsonian, probably, again, plotting its next move. And get this, when they shine ultraviolet light on it, it glows red like a burning ember. Creepy! But, you know, some say it's just science because there's something about the boron and the stone. I don't know. But others, they are convinced it's the diamond's demonic presence shining through. So, next time you're tempted to swipe a gemstone from a sacred statue, maybe think twice. Or at least, make sure it's not a cursed 45-carat blue diamond with a taste for chaos. All right, for our next stop, we're visiting the spooky history of the Myrtles Plantation Mirror. So picture this. You're walking into the Myrtles Plantation. this beautiful, grand old house in Louisiana that is practically oozing with Southern charm and ghost stories. And right there in the foyer, you've got this massive, ornate mirror just staring right back at you. It's been hanging there for over 200 years, just soaking up all the history and the tragedy that has gone down in this gorgeous house. So, according to legend, this mirror is like a portal to the spirit world. I know. It sounds like something straight out of a horror movie, but hang with me. So there's a tradition that when someone dies in a house, you're supposed to cover all the mirrors. It is to prevent the soul of the deceased from getting trapped in the mirror. Now, the kicker here is that when Sarah Woodruff and her two children were poisoned back in the day, and, you know, that's a story for a different day, but just the long and short is they were OGs at the Myrtles Plantation, right? So when they passed away, nobody covered this mirror. So now people say that the spirits of Sarah and her children are stuck there like some kind of supernatural photo booth. Visitors have reported seeing all sorts of weird stuff in this mirror. We're talking ghostly figures, handprints appearing out of absolutely nowhere, and even what looks like droplets of water running down the glass from the inside. But wait, it gets weirder. Some people have tried to clean these mysterious marks off the mirror, but they will not budge. They've even replaced the glass entirely, but those creepy marks just keep coming back. Now, let's talk about a particularly creepy incident. So there was a group of kids on a school trip to the plantation. They're all standing in front of the mirror, probably making cute kid funny faces or, you know, whatever kids do. And then, out of nowhere, this little girl starts screaming and freaking out. She is telling everyone, swears up and down, that she saw children in old-timey clothes reflected in the mirror. But when she turned around, no one was there. But it's not just kids seeing things. Grown adults have reported feeling like they're being watched when they're near the mirror. Some say they've seen faces or figures moving in the reflection, even when they're alone in the room. It is enough to make you want to avoid mirrors altogether, at least me. But, you know, despite all the spooky stories, this mirror is still hanging there in the Myrtles Plantation, just daring visitors to take a look. So next time you're in Louisiana and feeling extra brave, why not swing by the Myrtles Plantation? Just remember, if you see any ghostly kids waving at you from the mirror, it might be best to wave back. You know, just to be polite. After all, Southern hospitality extends to the spirit world too, right? All right, let's journey over to the spine-chilling tale of Busby's Stoop Chair. So picture this. It's the early 1700s in North Yorkshire, England. We meet a guy named Thomas Busby, and let me tell you, he's not winning any Citizen of the Year awards. Busby's your typical thug. He's a thief, a drunk, and apparently very possessive about his favorite chair. Now, Busby has a father-in-law named Daniel Audi, and these two are thick as thieves, literally. So they're running a counterfeit coin operation together, and one day, Audi shows up at Busby's Inn and sits in Busby's favorite chair, which is a huge mistake. Busby loses it, and we are talking full-on hammer-wielding rage. He follows Audi home and literally beats him to death. Busby tries to hide the body, but he's not exactly a criminal mastermind, so he gets caught, he is tried, and he is sentenced to death. Rumor has it that on his way to the gallows, Busby supposedly curses the chair, saying, "May sudden death come to anyone who dares sit in my chair." Fast forward a couple centuries, and this chair is racking up quite the reputation. We're talking about 63 people who sat in the chair and then met untimely, often gruesome deaths. Rumor has it that during World War II, Canadian airmen from a nearby base who sat in the chair never came back from their missions. In the 1970s, people started dropping like flies after sitting in this chair. There's tales of car crashes, falls from buildings, even a brain tumor. Eventually, the chair was donated to the Thirsk Museum, but they were so freaked out by its reputation that they hung it from the ceiling. That's right. This chair is so scary, it is literally untouchable. Now, let me hit you with a plot twist. A furniture expert examined the chair and reported that this chair was made in 1840, which is about 138 years after Busby's execution. Very mysterious. So what's the deal? Is it really Busby's chair? Is it cursed? Or is it just a case of really, really bad luck? Who knows? All right. Let's buckle up because we're hitting the road in James Dean's Little Bastard and letting the spooky saga play on the radio. So picture this. It's 1955 and James Dean, Hollywood's favorite rebel without a cause, decides he needs a new set of wheels. But not just any set of wheels. We're talking about a Porsche 550 Spyder, one of only 90 ever made. This thing was sleek, silver, and faster than gossip in a small town. Just 9 short days before James Dean's fatal crash, he takes delivery of his newly customized car with tartan seats and the nickname Little Bastard painted on the back. About a week before the crash, Dean is showing off his new toy to his friend Alec Guinness, who takes one look at this car and gets a bad feeling. Allegedly, he tells Dean, if you get in that car, you'll be found dead in it by this time next week. Fast forward to September 30th, 1955. Dean is cruising down Route 466 in California, probably feeling fantastic like the king of the world. But then tragedy strikes. A Ford Tudor crosses his path, causing the accident that kills Dean instantly, leaving Little Bastard totaled. And you'd think that'd be the end of the story, right? No. This is where things get really weird. After the crash, the car parts start getting passed around like a bad penny. And wouldn't you know it, strange things start happening. 2 tires from the wreck are sold, and both blow out simultaneously, nearly killing the new owner. Coincidence? Maybe, but there's more. The engine gets put in another race car, which promptly crashes and kills the driver. The transmission goes into a third car, which, you guessed it, crashes. The creepiest part? The car itself seems to have a mind of its own. It falls off of a trailer and crushes a mechanic's legs. It slides off a display platform and injures a teenager. And it even catches fire while in storage. But, miraculously, it doesn't burn. And then in 1960, the car simply vanishes while being transported from Miami to LA. Just poof, gone. Some say it was stolen, others think it was scrapped, and honestly, we may never know what really happened to Little Bastard. Is it all just a series of unfortunate coincidences? Or is there something more sinister at play? Who knows? But one thing's for sure. If I ever come across a silver Porsche with Little Bastard written on it, I am running in the opposite direction. All right, let's rock our way to the spine-chilling tale of the Devil's Rocking Chair. So picture this. It's the early 1950s and the Glatzel family picks up this seemingly innocent rocking chair. For about 30 years, it is just hanging out in their house, minding its own business. But then bam, summer of 1980 rolls around and things get real weird real fast. So it all starts with 11-year-old David Glatzel. David starts having these terrifying nightmares and he sees a full-on demon with black eyes, pointy ears, horns, the whole 9 yards. And guess where this creepy creature likes to hang out? Yes, of course, you guessed it. The rocking chair. Now, David's not the type to make up stories, so his family is pretty freaked out. His sister Debbie even asked her fiancé, Arnie Johnson, to stay over and help out. But things just keep getting worse. David's seeing this beast while he's awake now, always sitting in that rocking chair. The family starts noticing the chair rocking by itself. And I mean, come on, that is straight horror movie stuff right there. So what do? They call in the big guns, the one and only Ed and Lorraine Warren, who right away start doing exorcisms right there in the house with David sitting in the chair. During these exorcisms, the chair starts moving around the house on its own, disappearing and reappearing in different places. It even levitates. I am not kidding. This thing is floating midair with witnesses, everything, the works. Now, here's where the story takes a really dark turn. After a final exorcism, it seems like David is in the clear. But think again. The demon jumps ship and possesses Arnie Johnson instead. Arnie starts growling and hissing, just like David did. Fast forward a few months, and Arnie ends up killing his landlord with a pocket knife and pleading not guilty due to demonic possession in court. After all the craziness, the Glatzels put the chair in storage, but the drama doesn't stop there. It seems that anyone who sits in this chair starts getting backaches and nerve pain. Some even end up needing surgery. Eventually, they give it to the Warrens, who put it in their occult museum. But even there, it's causing all kinds of problems. Some people are getting nightmares, arguing for no reason, and some even burst into tears just by being near the chair. These days, the chair is hanging out in Zach Bagans' haunted museum, and let me tell you, it is still up to its old tricks. Apparently, doors are shutting by themselves, lights are flickering, and the staff are at each other's throats. Next time you see an antique rocker at a yard sale, maybe think twice before bringing it home. You never know what kind of demonic baggage it might be carrying. All right, my lovely spooky story lover, we have reached the end of our spine-tingling journey through the world of cursed objects. I hope you enjoyed the eerie tales behind the Hope Diamond, the Myrtle's Plantation Mirror, James Dean's ill-fated car, the Devil's Rocking Chair, and, not to be forgotten, the notorious Busby Stoop Chair. Thank you so very much for tuning in to the Media Matters podcast. Your support means the world to me, and I hope these haunting stories have given you plenty to think about while you're trying to fall asleep. If you enjoyed this episode, and I really hope that you did, please follow for more and share it with the ones you like and love, because sharing is caring. Don't forget to tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday in October, because we are bringing all of the tricks and treats, and you don't want to miss out. Until next time, this is Chantel with the Media Matters, reminding you to keep your eyes peeled for any suspicious antiques, because all that glitters is definitely not gold. Sometimes it's just cursed. Sweet dreams!